Shalom. God bless each and everyone this evening. Welcome to the Bible study. I do apologize for the delay. Technology was letting us down. So we managed to do some arm wrestling with it and we got it going. So we do thank the Lord for that. So God bless each and everyone. Welcome to our Bible study for this evening. Trust everyone's having a good week. I think we're running on YouTube as well. So I think we're just about ready to go. So our thought, our topic today is we're looking at questions and answers. Some of the questions that came in, we really do appreciate the questions that have come in from different places and some very, very good questions. And the good thing about the questions is it helps to bring things together. It helps to tie up the loose ends and hopefully, all being well, to clarify points that needed to be clarified, fill in the gaps, and get things to a stage that I think we've covered things as well as we can in the time we have and so forth. So let's see how far we get this evening. We'd like to finish up if we could. We may not finish all the questions, but we have a trip to Czech Republic with our young people coming up in a couple of weeks' time to Auschwitz as well. So I just wanted to do a couple of Bible studies maybe next week and the week after to prepare for that. And then depending on how many questions we leave today, we'll have to just come back and finish up the questions after that. But I think it would be good for us to focus on something which would help us for our trip that's coming up as well. So this is mainly to do with hair and shoes and so forth. Now just on these questions and answers, somebody asked me, they said, aren't we going into too much detail on this? And not surprisingly, it's a brother that would ask a question like that. Because if I was a brother, I would think the same thing. But these are very important issues, mainly for sisters, because the sisters want to please the Lord in all things. And they want to make sure that every aspect of their life is under the blood, that they're under the headship of the word. So that's why you find the questions and that they really do come down to these fundamental points, because sisters, we have very good sisters, and you're the people who tune in as well. People are wanting to make sure that they're walking pleasing to the Lord. So that's why maybe sometimes we do go into some detail and stuff, because we're trying to find an absolute. We're trying to find something that settles inside of our hearts that we can say, yeah, now I'm satisfied. That's the way that I'm going to define this particular issue inside of my life. And it's important. I think it's a very important thing. Somebody also asked, do people listen? Is at any point, will people not just do what they were doing? Well, I've been so impressed to see the great change in so many young people and even older sisters as well, sisters that have been with us for some time. I think any genuine child of God responds to the word. You find the ones that still come to church and they still have high heels and that, I think they just haven't been on the Bible studies, or their parents haven't, and their parents haven't instructed the children. So that's where we've got to have some patience. We've got to just persevere, and we will see a solution to that as we get along. Now, before we pray, I just want to say this. If I say anything contrary to your pastor, to people that are joining from other congregations who will watch this on YouTube, I know there are people who have sent me questions from other countries and stuff. So if I say anything contrary to your pastor, you must stay with what your pastor says. Now, that's the real important thing. Or if you say something and you think, maybe my pastor doesn't know this. I mean, I've learned things going through this that I never knew before. So we're all learning. None of us have absolute knowledge of all truth. You know, so approach whoever it is nicely, your pastor, and discuss it with them. And if there's something you can show to help them along, like we all appreciate if somebody shows us something to clarify something which we thought we understood that maybe we didn't. And let's always do it with a humble spirit. But the important thing is to stay with your pastor. I put a picture there, danger, thin ice. Program says an adoption. He says Bible teaching is usually a little bit treacherous, kind of walking out on thin ice. So, you know, you've got to really be careful with these kind of things. I do understand that. So if we do say something contrary to what your church believes, especially if you're in the message, you stay with your pastor. Brahram says, stay with your pastor. He's the shepherd. And you give him respects. He'll lead you through because he's ordained of God to do so. So if you're a child of God, you're one of the sheep of his pasture, he's put you under a shepherd. And Brother Ram says, whatever we need, God will bring it to us. But everything comes in its time. So if there's something which we need in our church, the Lord will bring it to us. If there's something you need in your church, the Lord will bring it to you. So if we behind you on something, you have patience with us. If we're ahead of you on certain things, well, then we must have patience with you. But in all things, we want to have charity, like the Bible says. Okay, let's pray before we go any further to ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we know we can never pray enough. And Lord, we desire that we'd pray more to yield to you and to move beyond the flesh, to move beyond our own thoughts, to move beyond all the other things that pull us this way and that, and to come to that place, to be submissive and to be surrendered. Father, to just follow you with whithersoever thou goest, Lord, to follow your leadership, to follow your guidance. So won't you help us this evening, Lord? Won't you quicken us, both the speaker and the hearers, Lord, we pray that, Lord, we may do your will this evening, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So you stay with your pastor, like we say. Now, these things we're having a look at, like we've said before, these are not things pertaining to salvation. So there's got to be grace in these kind of things. You know, these are not things which, if a person trims their loose ends on their hair, that you think they're going to go to hell. I don't know. I don't think that they will. I think the Lord corrects us when you get out of line in these kind of things. But these are not things that are essential to salvation. This is something we've seen before. I've done it at church some years back. This was the motto. This is the maxim which they came with in the days of the Reformation. When Martin Luther came and he was bringing forth the word, and there came some divisions, and Zwingli in Switzerland had some ideas on this and that, and the other ones had ideas, and Luther had his ideas, and they were making a big fuss over it. Then Philip Melanchthon, he was more of the gentleman of the team, he brought them together, and they discussed, and they saw that they agreed on almost everything. But what they really realized is they agreed on all of the essential things. Justification by faith, who Babylon was, who the enemy was in that age, and all those kind of things. But then there were secondary points, which weren't so clear in the scripture, which maybe each of them had their own leaning this way a little bit, leaning that way a little bit. So they came up with this maxim that in essentials, we need unity. So in things that are essential, water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the unity of the Godhead, the spirit of Elijah, the seven church ages, the seven seals, all of these things, we must have unity if we're believers. Now, these things are clear. These things are scriptural. We don't have any room there to put our own opinions and stuff. So in essential things, we need unity. But where there's doubtful point, when it speaks of doubtful points, it's meaning questionable things, things where there's some doubt. You're not 100% sure how long this should be, how far this should go, how exactly this should be done, because scripture doesn't lay it out 100% clear. In doubtful points, we must have liberty. So now we have Christian liberty to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost, the way that he leads us to teach in our churches and to set the boundaries and the parameters. And the way we set the boundaries may be a little bit different on some things than the way you set the boundaries in your church, because there's no definitive boundaries that have been set in the word. And if you take it to the end time commentary, the message, you don't find there's a definitive boundary set there. Therefore, we must have liberty. We don't take our opinions or our own understandings as being an absolute. But now we give liberty to people to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Then they said, but in all things, we need charity. We must be governed by love. And love extends itself always in grace. So we have grace. If someone's behind you, they don't fully understand, they shouldn't wear earrings, have grace. Have patience with them. Bear with them. Try to show them the truth. Maybe they don't see it right then. Still, that's your sister. You encourage her along the way. She might catch it 2-3 months down the way. You know, so we want to make sure we just keep the right spirit in this as we go through. So the first of our questions, please clarify about the height of heels. Okay, so I think we spoke about it, but you never really came to a definitive answer here. And I don't know if we can 100%, but I went back to this and I thought, okay, this is a very important one I can see. So I think we should go back to this. Now, Sister Susan had sent me that Betty Collins interview she posted on the group. It was very good. So I just wanted to take a few things she says from, let's develop this and build this up. And maybe we can come to a better understanding, something a little bit clearer. So Sister Betty Collins was walking together with Sister Rebecca, Brother Bram's daughter. Brother Bram was behind them. And he said now to Betty Collins, he says, Betty, let me just tell you something about your shoes. She says, I want to show you the right heels to wear. She was wearing high heel shoes. And then the prophet says, I don't like them high-heeled shoes. So let me show you what's the right kind of shoe, the right kind of heel that you should use. Yeah, and that was a really wonderful approach that he had. It wasn't a rebuke. He didn't wait for church and come and stand in the pulpit. You know, he did what a good believer would do. You take somebody aside, like good discipleship. You're walking in the shopping mall. The person you're walking with, that's your friend, they may be not dressed 100% right. You know, as you do it in the spirit of Christian love. Hey, let me tell you a little bit. You know, hey, as a brother, we shouldn't really wear short trousers. You know? Yeah, you do it like that. That's what friends are for, friends. Don't leave it for the pulpit. Don't say, it's not my job. It is. You are your brother's keeper. And if God has given somebody to you in your sphere of influence, use that influence wisely. Do it in a nice way. Right opportunity, right time, say it in the right way. But the most effective way is to help somebody like that, not have to wait for preaching or Bible studies to do it. So Brother Bram says, I don't like those high-heeled shoes. So she said, look, I'm really sorry. I didn't know that. So he took her across now to this department store, the shop, the window where there was the goods on display. And what it was, she says, he wanted me to see the heel on a particular shoe. It was a shoe for an older lady, but it was the heel that he wanted to show her. And she says, Sister Betty, it wasn't a little heel, like it wasn't just a flat-soled shoe, but it had a good support on the bottom so that it didn't rock. There was no mincing with the shoe. We'll get into this as we get a little more into detail. So he pointed out and said, look, that's the kind of shoe. That's really good, acceptable, the way that a heel should be. It shouldn't be something that rocks as you walk, like a high heel, a thin stiletto kind of a heel. But it's got to be something which is firm. And friends, I think some of these things, we need common sense. Why are you wearing shoes? I mean, why do you want to wear shoes where it's like the heel is like a pencil? I mean, it doesn't really make any sense. Even if you said it's comfortable, it can't be comfortable, but it's dangerous. I mean, you can easily twist your ankle. You can, you know, there's so many things. It doesn't make sense to wear shoes like that. If you think about it, the only reason people do it is for fashion. It's not any practicality to it. If you're on practicality, you'll have something which is flat. You'll have your heels will have a good support at the bottom, because that's the purpose of a shoe, to give you good support. You know, so the prophet showed her these shoes, and she says they had a good support at the bottom so that it didn't rock. The shoes didn't rock, so you weren't mincing as you're walking. You see, that was the principle that he's trying to show. And then the prophet says to her, the Sister Betty says, and he liked the height of a cowboy boot. Because I put some cowboy boots there. So he liked the height of a cowboy. Now, what is the height of heels on a cowboy boot? Well, it depends on what the cowboy boot is being used for, obviously. You know, not all cowboy boots are the same. There's three uses for cowboy boots. The first one is for walking. The second one is for riding a horse. And the third one is for fashion. I've taken this directly off a website I'll give you just now. So there's three reasons people wear cowboy boots. One is to walk. One is to ride a horse. And another one is for fashion. And that the height of the heels increases as we go down that list. You know, you don't need such a high heel if you're just needing those boots for walking. But you do need a higher heel if you're putting your foot in stirrups. You need more of a heel so that you can keep a good, what is it? Okay, a firm, not grip, whatever you say, but a foothold within your stirrup. You're going to see it as we get a photo a little bit more. So if you have a look at these cowboy boots, it might give us an idea what Brother Ram was trying to show. So I went and found out the best place I could, the complete guide to cowboy boot heel types. You know, I went and I read it. It was the best site that I could find. I went and looked around, and they started to explain these three types of cowboy boots. Number one, at the top, there's a standard boot, there's a low boot, and there's a high heels boot. Those are the three classes of boot. So the standard cowboy boot, I put a picture of it down below there. The heel height is 1 inch or lower. That's a standard cowboy boot. If it's being used for walking or for ranch work, I mean, if you're walking or doing ranch work, you don't want a high heel. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. High heels are painful when you walk. You know, you wouldn't do that. So the shoe's got to be practical. So if you're just doing ranch work or walking, the heel height is 1 inch or lower. Then you have a low boot, the middle one, which is for riding now. If you're walking, ranch work, and riding a horse, you need a little bit bigger of a heel to put in the stirrup. So that gets up to 1.5 inches if you go to buy it. And then finally, you get the high heel, which is 3 to 4 inches. And I put a picture there, which is solely for fashion. You sure ain't going to be hunting no Indians in those kind of boots. You know, you're not going to be riding a horse very easily on those kind of boots. Your boot's going to get stuck in the stirrup. So, you know, there's no practical purpose for high heels in any aspect of life, except for it's fashionable. We saw it when he did, except for it does something to your body, your posture. You know, it speaks of certain things down the line of sexuality. We went through it very in detail a few weeks back. So you can see, even in these cowboy boots, depending on what is your use, what are you wanting to use those boots for? You're going to choose the right kind of heel for the use of that boot. Now, friends, it's just common sense. That's how it's got to be with us when you choose our shoes as well. Obviously, the heel height that you're choosing is going to be 100% determined by what you're doing. If you're walking, if you're standing on your feet, if you're going up and down, you don't want to have a high heel. 1 inch is going to be fine on a boot, because a cowboy boot of 1 inch is fine for walking, for ranching, and things like that. But when you're getting on to, I just put this one just to try to put the point across. Now, how much horse riding do you do? You know what I mean? Why do you want a heel like that? I mean, that's not natural. That's not even comfortable for walking long distances or standing on your feet. Someone will be complaining and try to get their shoes off as quick as they can. That's a 2-inch heel there. So you can see just even a 2-inch heel there. It's not a natural heel size for common things in life. It's more down the line of fashion. I put a stirrup down there to show that's why you need the higher heels to fit your boot in the stirrup so it doesn't slip through when you're riding. And when you get into a rough patch, you want to make sure there's enough heel there that it grips inside of that stirrup. That could cause a great accident if you don't. So cowboy boots, generally speaking, a cowboy who doesn't ride a horse, they're not going to buy anything with much more than 1 inch of heel, because you need it for walking. Anything more than that's not going to be comfortable for the line of work that you're doing. Okay, so what do the experts say? So I said, okay, let's go and see. What do the experts say, the people who deal with people's feet? You know, these medical people, clinicians, whatever you call them, pedo, whatever they are, the guys who deal with feet, what do they say about the ideal height of a heel? Now, they're not speaking fashion-wise, they're not speaking religious-wise. They're saying the best for your body, the most natural for your body. What is the height? This is taken from Gotham Foot Care. If you go and have a look on their site, they're the most well-known in the world. I mean, everybody refers to them. So I went to the experts. And when you go and have a look at to or not to wear heels, and they start speaking about whether you should wear high heels, if you're going to wear heels, they start speaking about it. So it says, let me share some information that you may thank me for later. Yeah? Your tired, high heel wearing feet will thank me. The ideal heel height is not 4 inches. Says, thank goodness. It's not 3 inches and it's not 2 inches. The ideal heel height is 1 inch. So down the line of footwear, the ideal heel height is 1 inch. That's what they've studied. And that brings us back to our standard cowboy boot, which is 1 inch or lower. That's the ideal height for walking, for working, for ranch work. So you can see there's very much a consistency here, you know, of what a cowboy boot is and how it works. Getting up to 1.5 inches, I don't know, that one in the middle, you're going to be running around a ranch and you're going to be trying to catch cows and lasso this and lasso that with those kind of heels, and you're going to be standing on a rock and you're going to be slipping and hurting your ankle because it's unnecessary to have your heels so high. In this article, when they go to show what the experts say, they go and explain you should never have flat shoes, and we know that. You try to walk around with flip-flops all the time, unless they're made of soft rubber, it really does become painful because your arch needs support. Your foot is naturally arched. It needs some heel. And they say, the medical experts, that the ideal heel height is 1 inch. That's interesting. So here's 1 inch heels. Do you need more? I mean, have a look at that. That's a good size heel. That's what they're recommending. Do we need more than that as sisters to wear? Why do we need more than that? That's my question. Maybe because I'm a man, I don't understand. If somebody can let me know why you actually would need more than 1 inch, maybe you'll help me to understand a little better why people put more than 1 inch. Is there any reason for it? I don't know. That's what I'm putting it out to you. If you could let me know, post it anonymously in the comments or send me a message, I'd really appreciate it. I'm asking honestly, is there a reason why anybody would need more than 1-inch heels? Because, I mean, look at a 1-inch heel. It's fine. It's the most comfortable and the most natural for your feet. So that is really, really what, if you ask me, taking it based on what Brother Bram said about cowboy boots, looking at what is the optimum cowboy boot for work, for just general use, is 1-inch cowboy boots. Bringing it to the experts, they say a 1-inch heel is the ideal, having studied the foot and looking at 1-inch heels there. I would really struggle to understand why we'd even want anything more than that. Yeah, it's just not natural. And what it's going to do, it's going to affect your posture. And once you're getting up to the 2-inch, the 2.5-inch especially, remember we saw you changing your posture. Your buttocks are going out. Your breasts are coming out. You're stretching your legs. You're arching your back. It's just a natural change of posture, the higher that those heels become. So if I was a sister, I'd want to find the minimum heel height. So I have a natural posture. So what is the minimum height so that I feel comfortable? That's obviously the shoes I'm going to choose. I'm going to look at the shoes. These are nice shoes. You can have them stylish. They can be modern, whatever they want, as long as they're not sinful. And then what is the comfortable heel height for you? If it's a heel height, just 1. If it's a 1.25, whatever for you, find what's comfortable for your feet. It just makes common sense, I think. But you don't want to be pushing it high because of what it does to your body. We saw that the other week. We shouldn't be doing that. Do we really need more? Now, I see sometimes people coming to church with like 1-inch stilettos. And I ask, why? Brother Ram said to Sister Betty, said, Brother Ram showed her a shoe that had a good support on the bottom. It didn't rock. It doesn't allow it to mince. These things here, when you're walking them, you're going to be mincing. You're going to be rocking. You want good support. Surely the natural common sense for having heels on your shoe, number one, is to give your foot the arch on your foot, the right elevation so that your feet don't get tired. But secondly, to give you good support on the ground. So apart from fashion and apart from the way that it looks, I don't understand why somebody would want even a 1-inch heel of like a stiletto heel. Despite the fact that you can easily turn your ankle like that, and you turn around in a hurry, you try to dodge an Indian arrow with those shoes on, and you're going to find yourself in trouble. You know, so I don't know. Again, if I'm mistaken, people say, are you just a man? You don't understand. That's fine. So you help me to understand. If you could send me some information to help me to understand what is the purpose of a 1-inch stiletto shoe? Why not buy just a normal 1-inch shoe, your 1-inch heel shoe? Why buy a stiletto? What is the purpose? I don't really think that's fits what Sister Betty was shown by Brother Branham that day. Because this doesn't have good support on the bottom. And this is going to cause you to rock. It's going to cause you to mince when you walk. You know, so I don't know. If I'm wrong there, like I say, I'm just a man trying my best. You know, so 1-inch heels also, to me, I think they can also miss the mark of what you're supposed to be wearing. You know, because they don't have that good support. So that's on shoes. The next thing we wanted to get on, like I said, I just wanted to pin that down. So if you asked me, based on what I understand from Brother Branham, because he never gave us a specific measurement, it was Sister Collins who said a few things there. But Brother Branham never gave us a specific measurement. But having a look at cowboy boots like Brother Branham would have worn, having a look at what the experts say, the best thing for your foot, I would say 1-inch. That's what would be my answer. But like I said, there's liberty here. This is a questionable point. Everyone's got Christian liberty. You follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Just make sure they're not high heels. Make sure they don't change your posture unnecessarily. Make sure that they're comfortable. Make sure that they're practical. That's what it is. They can be beautiful, stylish, whatever color you like. But I would say, if you ask me about heel height, I'd say 1-inch. I don't think you need much more than that. If you want to push a little bit up, that's up to you. But I think once you're getting up to the 2-inch mark, you're really, really getting into high heel territory. And why push things as close as you can to sin? Why not just keep it in a comfortable level? Keep it the way that naturally shoes should be when you wear them. And I think we do away with a lot of the problem and a lot of the questions. So the next question, this is a very popular one. It comes from many people. whenever we get onto these topics. Is it wrong for a Christian to trim split ends? Now, brothers will say, what are split ends? Because we don't have split ends. We don't allow our hair to get long enough. But for sisters, it's a big issue because a sister wants to be pretty. She wants her hair to be pretty. Now, when we get into split ends, brings us onto the topic of hair and cutting of hair, because trimming your split ends, does that count as cutting your hair? That's basically what's being asked in the question. And it's a very good question. It's a very practical question. So I'll try to answer it the best that I can. But like I said, these are doubtful points. You don't find this in the scripture, clearly. You don't find it in the message, clearly. So I'm going to try to show you the approach that I would take, and then you see what you think about it. So I'm taking it from God's words calls for total separation. Brother Roman says, but I think today when we see our sisters wearing long hair, as the Bible says they should, I think it's a Nazarite sign that they want to follow the Lord. So they want to follow the Lord. So they want to have long hair. They want to meet the scriptural requirements. Now, this is a message, the prophet speaking of separation. And in the Old Testament, if a person wanted to really have a special season or time, or even their whole life, to fully consecrate themselves to the Lord, they could take a Nazarite vow under the Old Testament. And the Nazarite vow was a vow of separation, of consecration unto the Lord. So here's the Nazarite vow from Numbers chapter 6. So the prophet's calling it, he says, I think it's a Nazarite sign. Like I said last week, he's not saying a woman is under a Nazarite vow of the Old Testament. I know people blast the message because of that. They say, Brother Branham, William Branham said, women are under Nazarite vow of the Old. No, he didn't. He's taking a woman's hair, yes, and showing her full dedication to the Lord. And he said, it's a Nazarite sign. That's what he says. He says, you can take it back as a parable to the Nazarite vow. But like I said last week, the Nazarite vow, as we'll see, a person couldn't touch anything to do with the grapes, couldn't go to a funeral and stuff. So obviously, sisters aren't under a full Nazarite vow. That's not what he's trying to teach. So the Lord said to Moses, speak unto the children of Israel and say to them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord. Now, like I said last week, you never find an example in the Bible of a woman taking a Nazarite vow, but you do find examples of men. Yeah, but a woman could if she wanted to. Now the prophet's typing that because as we see, what is the condition of a Nazarite vow? Verse 5, all the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in the which he separates himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. So the Nazarite vow was valid as long as no razor came upon your head. Can you see that? But the moment the person said, like, I vowed for a week, I vowed for a month, I vowed for 3 months to have special consecration to the Lord. I finished, today's my last day. That come to the temple, that cut their hair, take their hair and offer it as an offering to the Lord. So the sign that they'd broken that Nazarite vow was that they brought a razor onto their head. That's how the prophet says, a woman, her hair is a Nazarite sign. Because the moment she brings a razor onto her head, she's no more consecrated to the Lord, to the word. She's now broken her vow as a Christian to have long hair, because her hair is given to her for her glory. You know, so that's why he's typing. It's a perfect type, a very good type that he's using of the Nazarite vow, because the moment somebody cut their hair, you broke your Nazarite vow. And the moment a woman cuts her hair, she breaks the word. She breaks her covenant requirement that God has with a woman. Because, you know, from Eden, when the fall came in, God made two covenants, one with Adam and then one with Eve. We're under different covenants. Right the way through the New Testament, we're under different covenants. That's how Paul comes in Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, be subject to your husbands. You know, so the man and a woman are under a different covenant in that aspect. There's different requirements to our dress and all these kinds of, and to our hair, as we saw last week. You know, so it's an important thing to see right from Eden. So my question then, bearing in mind that when you bring a razor onto somebody's head to cut their hair, it breaks the vow. My question is then, do you think Samson would have broken his Nazarite vow if he trimmed his split ends? You know, it might sound a bit silly, but it's a very valid point. You know, if Samson looked, he's under a Nazarite vow. He's not allowed to allow a razor to touch his head. Now he looks, he's got some split ends. Let me just trim some of these split ends off. What is the terms of a Nazarite vow? There shall no razor come upon his head. So even if you're trimming those split ends, you've allowed a razor, now we'll say a scissors, whatever that it's going to be, to come on your head. So if Samson just trimmed off a little bit off the end, would he not have lost his power? I believe that he would have. Absolutely. Because the vow is don't let a razor come to your head. Yeah. And that's why Abraham says, don't bring scissors near your hair. That's why he says he's bringing it the same kind of way. Because a woman's hair is a Nazarite sign to her. It's a sign of her separation to the Lord, a sign of her consecration, a sign of her full obedience to the word. Yeah, so you can see that's that question. I think if you think of that question very deeply, sisters that are asking about split ends, I think that'll probably answer the question there. Because to me, it's an end. I mean, if I was a sister, that would answer the question to me. Yeah. Or others, let me ask you this point. If Samson trimming his split ends didn't break his vow, at what point of cutting someone's hair will the vow be broken? Is it cutting a quarter of an inch? Is it a half an inch? Is it 1 inch? Is it, you know, leaving 1 inch behind? At what point are we going to determine the vow is broken? According to scripture, the vow is broken if the razor comes on the head. Can you see my point? Now, this is exactly what Brother Ram is going to hit on the point as well. You can do anything he says with the hair, but don't let a scissors come near it. You know, so I think that's going to answer pretty clearly to me about split ends. Yeah, because if you can trim split ends, I mean, why can't you just trim your fringe or just trim a quarter of an inch off the back to make your hair straight at the back? Yeah, I mean, it's where do you stop now? I mean, if you can allow scissors for this little bit, why can't we just keep on going? And, you know, I think you're on a very slippery slope. So I know in that book, which I sent out, some saints asked about modesty, but that by that pastor, the one we started with in the beginning, it's very good. He actually says that it's been proven medically that the best way of dealing with split ends is through your daily hair care. Now, I don't exactly know where he's getting that from. I'll try to find out. But if I was a sister, that's what I'd be researching, because that's what he says. He says they proved it's not really necessary to have to trim split ends if there's a certain way that you look after your hair. Now, I know our sisters really look after their hair well, so that might just need a little bit of a sister to do some digging into that, and maybe she can help us and help other sisters with anything you come upon with that. I think that would be very, very helpful. So I don't know if that really answers the question about split ends, but that's the best we can do with the material we've got until we start getting in the message now, just to hammer a few things down. So I would say on split ends, I would say no, you shouldn't even let a scissor come near your hair. Okay, the next question, what about braids or extensions and so forth? Now, the white sisters will say, well, it's irrelevant, but to our colored sisters, it's not irrelevant. This is a very big issue. Yeah, because genetically, they only have pretty short hair. And they want to have long hair as well, you know, so they want to put extensions on or hair, not artificial hair, but put braids and stuff like that. So let's have a look at this question now. Now I'm going to bring it up in this question, 408, questions and answers, 30th of August, 64 in the evening. Why is it that you make so much of women's dressing and cutting of hair, and nothing is said about the hair of the man or the way he dresses? Well, I think we've tried to address that the last few weeks. Now, we'll get onto it just now. Don't worry, brothers. You got your slides are coming about hair as well. But I think we showed pretty clearly last time that God looks at a man's hair different than he does a woman. It's not a Nazarite sign for a man. We saw even nature teaches you itself. You know, that 70% of men go bald because of testosterone by the age of whatever. You know, so it's a natural thing for a man to lose his hair in most cases. But a woman, it's very rare, because God, under that covenant, gave a woman a hair for her glory. He gave her hair for covering and for her glory, the Bible says. So there's a difference here. But Abraham answers and says, it's a good point, sister. The first place the Bible says a man should not have long hair. We hammered that point the other week. If he had long hair and he came to church, I'd tell him as much as I tell you. And it's true. I mean, if we had somebody come to church and that long hair brother, we're going to talk to him and say, brother, what are you doing with your hair? Do you want us to call you Brother Absalom or something? No, we'd say something to him to try to put the point across. But we don't really have that problem in church of brothers coming with long hair. I mean, we don't. You know, I don't think that's why you don't find we speak much about it, because it's not really a problem. And the prophet says the minister starts where the problem is. So, yeah, I don't think that one is. He says, but now a man concerning dressing. Yes, we did hit it the other week about why would a man want to put on a tight T-shirt, a boy, and come to church showing off his muscles and that. That's sissified men. You shouldn't be doing that. What are you trying to do? You're trying to attract girls. What's wrong with you? What kind of spirit's on you to dress like that? You know, I think we hit that one the other week. So we do get onto it, but it's not such a major thing. Brother M says about that one there, he says, now a man, the first place a man's body is not a temptation like a woman's. Go to the original sin. Where was the fall? It was the woman's body. Go back to there. Go back to Genesis 6 when Noah's day, what caused the fall? The sons of God looked at the daughters of man that they were fair to look at. It wasn't the daughters of God looking at the sons of man. You know, Satan really, right from the beginning, has always targeted women, especially the beauty of woman, the seductive properties of woman and so forth. And in our age, it's even worse. It's a woman's age. You know, so obviously Satan's going to be targeting to use the woman in this way more than a man. And a man, I mean, most like Brother Raymond says, he says, no, man, his big, old, hairy legs, knock-kneed, pot-bellied and everything, he's a horrible-looking mess. You take a lot of our brothers now when they get above 40 and they got their dad bod or whatever you call it, you know, and you find there's the recession on the top and there's the inflation in the middle. Like Brother George Martin used to say, I mean, hey, you got man's going to take off his shirt around woman. He's got his big belly there and stuff. I mean, the woman's going to laugh. But you let a woman take off her shirt among men, it's going to be different because a woman's body is different. So that's different. Yes, a man shouldn't show himself off, especially if he's a muscular man, a good-looking man. He must have humility like a good-looking woman does, has to have humility as well. But the prophet says it's not much about that kind of man for temptation. I think he's the gormiest looking sight. Seeing this men coming down the road, young or old, with those pairs of bikinis on. Like you said, that swimming costume on. Now they go walking down, then their big bellies sticking out and stuff. Yes, it's a horrible sight. I mean, you really got to have a real unclean spirit on you as a sister if you're going to lust after a man like that. I mean, age. I don't think it should. So that's what he really gets onto that point. Why we don't focus so much on this. Why it's mainly to do with the woman. And that's why you find all of the questions that have come from sisters. We never got one question from a brother, which proves a point, you know, that these things apply to sisters more than to brothers. So Satan targets the woman more in this age, obviously. But listen how he continues on now, the next paragraph. If a woman has got real thin hair, and she wants to wear one of those rats or whatever you call it. My wife wears it. Now, what is he speaking about? A rat. There's a woman wearing a rat. Here's a hair rat. That's what it was called. And those, you can still get them now. What is a hair rat? It's like an artificial something that a woman puts in her hair, twists her hair around it to make her hair busher or bigger, especially if a woman's got thin hair and she wants to have a bigger hair do, you'll see it for the guys that are here. I'll just hide this here. You can see that's the way they used to get those big hairstyles in days gone by. It wasn't all natural hair there. They would put this on like a hair rat. You can get them there. You know, to be like an artificial something that helps you to boost the volume of your hair. That's what it's all about. So Brahman says, you know, if a woman has thin hair and she wants to go and put in something like this in her hair to make her hair more voluminous, or, you know, make it more, cover more of her head or whatever. So he said about his wife, she says her hair is thin and says, God, some kind of a thing about that big around. He's explaining about this hair. Looks like a big oversized biscuit. And she wraps her hair around that Abram's wife and pins the pins in it. As far as I'm concerned, that doesn't bother anything as long as your hair is long. Mm-hmm. He says, look, if you want to go and put that thing in your hair, why are you doing it to try to make your hair look bigger and longer? He says, as far as I'm concerned, that doesn't bother me as long as your hair is long. You know, so you can see adding these things and doing things to your hair. God doesn't really worry much about these kind of things. But the most important thing, obviously, is your motive and objective. As with everything, you must have the right motive and objective. Why are you doing this? Why do you want to use this particular something, braids or whatever, a rat in your hair, whatever other things that you want to use? What's your motive in doing it? If you have the right motive in doing it, there's nothing wrong. Now, what is the purpose of a hair rat? To give a woman a full head of hair. That's what the purpose is. And as long as you're doing it for the right purpose, like you said, there's nothing wrong with this because you're working in harmony with a divine purpose, desire, because the Lord said a woman's hair, Paul said, if a woman have long hair, it's her glory for her. You know, see, I think it's just natural for any woman who's right in their spirit to want to have long hair. And if you find somebody maybe from genetics, African, whatever, they don't really have such long hair, and they want to add something to make their hair longer, I don't see much difference between that. So I said, so surely the same principle applies to braids and extensions and so forth also. Now, if you want to go and add to your hair, to make your hair long, again, it's your motive and objective as to why you're doing this. And the key thing here is stay under headship. If you're a girl who's not yet married, your head is your father. So you go and speak to your father about this. If you're a woman who's married, your husband is your head. What does your husband say about it? What did Paul say? He said, if a woman has any questions, let her ask her husband at home. That's your head. Go and ask first. I'm thinking of doing this. What do you think? You know, you go to the headship that God has given you. Like I say, if you're not married, it's your father, your parents, whoever that it is. You stay under headship before you make decisions about doing these things. But according to scripture, there's nothing to say that this is wrong. According to the message, there's absolutely nothing to say that doing these kind of things is wrong. But like I said in the beginning, you stay with what your pastor says. Your pastor might say, I don't want this. I don't want to see those things in church. You stay under the headship of your church. I'm speaking to the people here that are in our church. That as for us, people always have known that we've never had an issue with this because the prophet never had an issue with these things. So we never, ever worried about these things. This is one of those doubtful points. It's not 100% clear on something. So everyone has liberty. If a certain pastor says, I don't like that, to me it looks worldly, well, that's fine. That's every person's entitled to their own opinion, and we respect one another's opinions. So you stay with what your pastor says on this. But the most important question to ask yourself, is this pleasing to the Holy Ghost? If God wanted you to have green hair, you would have been born with green hair. You know, so if you wanted to put on braids or whatever, extensions, dreads, whatever you call them, if God wanted to have a rainbow on your head, he would have put a rainbow on your head. You know, you can see this is now getting extreme. That's like when we said about coloring of hair. We'll get onto it again just now. Be as natural as you can. That's probably the best way to do it. God made you the way that you are. Try to stay as natural as you can. So you need to really ask yourself that question. Is this pleasing to the Holy Ghost? Yeah, and I think it's an important one to get to. Now, the prophet goes on. Now he starts. He says, a minister said his wife was condemned because she had a tint in her hair. She colored her hair. So Abraham didn't know what a tint was. He's like us men, we don't know a lot of these things. So he says, and I found out from a question, that means a paint or a coloring in her hair. Listen to what he says. I can't say that's wrong. I've nothing about it. If she's got long hair, that's all I can say about it. Because scripture only categorically says a woman must have long hair. You know, so all of these other things, we've got to be a little bit careful of being too dogmatic about the things that we say. We can set boundaries and parameters, is what I'm trying to set this evening. But we got to have some liberty here. So Brahman said this woman didn't want to come into the meeting or come near Brahman because she felt embarrassed because she had tinted her hair. Well, if she tinted her hair pink, I think she had every right to be embarrassed. Now, if she tinted her hair blue or green or rainbow like these days, then she should have been condemned for what she did because that's being silly. But I don't know what he's meaning, how much tint. Maybe she changed her hair color from one to another. I don't know what it is that she did to her hair. But Brahman said, look, I don't have anything to say about that because, you know, only thing I can see from the Bible is that she's got to keep her hair long. The rest is up to the personal leadership of the Holy Ghost. But this is what Paul says. We are free. I took it from another translation. We are free to do all things, but there are things which it is not wise to do. So we have a liberty on certain things. We are free sometimes to tint our hair. Like I said, if you've gone gray when you're young and you want to tint it, put it back to natural color, to me, I think that's perfectly acceptable. Like if you lose a tooth and you get a false tooth. But why go and get a green false tooth? Or black one with a skull on it or something? I mean, that'd be dumb. You would get a tooth similar to the one that you got there because you want to stay natural as much as you can as a Christian would. But you're free to do all things, Paul said. But not everything that you do is wise. We are free to do all things, but not all things are for the common good. So by putting on this kind of a hair as a Christian, what does that testify to the world? I mean, hey, what does this say about you being a Christian, being consecrated to the Lord? It doesn't say too much about that. To me, this would just show that you wanted to conform to the world. You wanted to fit in too much. Because all the other girls on the street are putting rainbows in their hair, you want to put a rainbow as well. No, we as Christians, like we said the other week, if you want to make a difference in your neighborhood, be different. You do it the way that God ordained you to do it, and you'll stand out from the crowd, yes, but the genuine people will respect what you're doing. So, what does it testify? Ask yourself this question. Why do I want to do this? Even if you just want to put on dreads or whatever, extensions, why do you want to do it? What is your motive? Is it really necessary? Is it really necessary for you to want to do what you do? It's a good question to ask yourself before making these kind of decisions. And the same thing for brothers. Ask yourself, why do I want to do this? Every single one of these men here can say, or boys can say, we fulfilled the scripture. We don't have long hair. Yes, but why do you want to do your hair like that? Is it necessary? What is this going to say to the world about you? What is this going to do to your Christian witness to your friends? All it shows me is you giving in to peer pressure, that you can't stand like Daniel in your day and be different, but you wanted to fit in with the other boys. So because they've got a Bebo or they've got a whatever cut, they get box cut, you go and get the same kind of a cut. Shame on us as Christians. We shouldn't be doing that. You should go to the barber to get your hair cut decently so you fulfill the scriptures. If you want it done a little bit like this, a little bit like that, that's okay. Whichever way you want to do your hair. But you'll see, Brother Ram says, don't let it be worldly. Because we do have scripture about that. Yeah. Who are you trying to please by doing this? Who are you trying to attract by doing this? What is your motive in doing this? You can't tell me that that guy there, those guys in the top middle, they have the right motive, that those are Christian guys with the right motive. No, 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 no. That's not right. We shouldn't be doing these things. You might come and say, show me the verse in the Bible. Okay, do you want me to show you a verse in the Bible? Be not conformed to this age. I took it from the literal version. Be not conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't give in to the conditions of your age. King James says, be not conformed to the world, this world system, this age and the system that governs this age, the fashions, the sinful fashions that govern this age. The scripture is very clear that we should not be conformed to these things. We shouldn't conform to the world. We shouldn't follow the fashions of the world. But we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You can't tell me that these young men here have been spending much time in their Bibles recently. Yeah. That they've been spending much time in the secret closet, seeking the mind of the Lord concerning how they should do their hair. Because I don't believe the Holy Ghost is going to tell somebody to do their hair like that. I think this is going to be ego. This is going to be the flesh. This is going to be other influences inside of our life that influence us to do these things. But we don't want to be conformed to the world. We want to be transformed. And if you go and seek the Lord about whatever, sister, brother, about your hair, about these things, God has never stopped speaking to an honest heart. He's still in the business of speaking to people. The Holy Ghost is still in the business of leading people. Remember, we put the slide the other day in church when you were speaking about no compromise. When a culture increasingly separates itself from God, the people of God must increasingly separate themselves from that culture. We are called to separate. We are called to, when the culture is going darker and darker, more and more extreme, more and more worldly in their fashions, hairstyles, high heels, we must stand apart because we can't make a difference and shine as a light if we're not different. Because the world is getting further and further from the word. So we're going to have to be different to make a difference. Now, we don't want to be strange. We don't want to dress in a sack. No, we don't want to dress like Elijah and go out there like Elijah. No. But if you spend enough time in the presence of God, he will teach you what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of the Lord. Okay, so Brother Ram goes back now. Listen, if a man doesn't have hair, wow. That's a good one. I've heard women say, well, if I could just get John, I think he'd look better if he wore a hairpiece. What do you think about it, Brother Branham? Is it wrong for him to do that? No, sir. No, indeed, it's not wrong. Not at all. If he wants to wear it, that's fine. No more than wearing false teeth or whatever that comes along. Wow. I like that one. So you find a brother, him and his wife, they discuss. She said, you're really going bald. Doesn't look so nice. Why don't you go and have a hair transplant in Poland? That's what the equivalent is now. You find the brother, he said, that's good. Yeah, I think it's okay. Let me go and have a hair transplant in Poland. Brother said, there's nothing wrong with that. Because in their day, it was a hair piece. Brother Branham had one because whenever the wind would blow on his bald head, he would lose his voice in the meetings. So he had to cover his head because of that. So you'll see he got himself a hair piece. And you'll see it on some of the photos. You see it on the video when he's in South Africa. He's got his hairpiece on. He had it on the day that he died. He told Billy Paul to pull it off. And it was very painful to take it off. You know, so there's nothing. Can you see what problems? So if it's not wrong for a man to get a hairpiece, how can it be wrong for a sister to put extensions on? If she's got the right motive, right objective, not conforming to the world. Can you see there's nothing wrong with these kind of things? Brother was very balanced on these and very scriptural in the things that he's saying. You know, so he's saying there's nothing wrong. If John wants to go and get himself a hairpiece, go and get a hairpiece. You know, people wouldn't expect that kind of an answer, but that's how he answers. Now, he really pins it down now. He says, now, sister, not a thing says, sister, that you can't wear a rat or switch of hair or something or another. I would put dreads and all that inside of it. There's something or another. There's no scripture that says you can't wear a rat or a switch of hair, whatever that is, you know, some extension, or something or another. That's perfectly all right, but let your hair stay long. And man, you cut yours off. What you've got, keep it cut. There, that settles that. But that should have settled it for us. I mean, he settled it for me. I know exactly what it is. When I see a sister, she's a young girl, she speaks to her parents, they're godly parents. I say, it's okay if you want to put extensions, dreads, whatever. That's good. That's fine for me. I mean, that's the liberty that they have as believers. We'll pin it down now. The final point is again. Okay, so what about coloring of hair, this tinting and that? Let's get a little bit further on this one here to close it off. So this is another question. This is from the morning of the week before, the 23rd of August in the morning. It's question 250. If it is wrong for me to run a beauty shop, she's asking, is it? Is it wrong for me to run a beauty shop? I'm a beautician and don't believe in Christians cutting their hair. Obviously, woman she's speaking about. But I cut others and tint also. Robin says, that means color, I guess. So this is a sister who's got a beauty shop and she knows I'm not going to cut my hair, but she cuts other women's hair and she tints their hair as well. And now she's got a conscience about it. What am I supposed to do? Sister dear, this is how he answers. I wouldn't know what to tell you. Listen, I can't say for women about putting color in their hair. I have no scripture against that. I can only stay with the scripture, see? The scripture doesn't say for them not to do that. The scripture says she must have long hair, and after that, I don't know where to go. Wow. He continues. You, if you want to do that, that's perfectly all right with me. And then he drops in a bit of a bomb. As far as I know, the church has no such custom. So he says, if you want to come with your rainbow hair, that's up to you. But hey, as far as I know, it's not in the scripture, but I know the church doesn't have a custom like that. No, so now he's pointing us to something else. He says, anything that's not in this Bible, that's up to you. But he says the church has no such custom. So he's giving us now, especially as young sisters, new believers, a very good pointer to the Urim and Thummim, which is Christ in his people. If a sister is coming to church with her hair in a fashion completely different than all the godly sisters in the church, if I was that sister, I'd get something and paint a big question mark on my mirror. So whenever I stand in front of the mirror, I ask myself and I say, but hey, why do I see all of these things different than others? Can you see what Brother was trying to say? As far as I know, the church has no such custom of sisters coming with pink hair and blue hair and rainbow colored hair. But anything that's not in the Bible, that's up to you. But he's given us a good point today. Do we not all have the same Holy Ghost? So how come some people feel comfortable doing certain things, conforming to the world far more than others? I don't know. I would say I would use the Urim and Thummim. And what is the Urim and Thummim? God, show us the Father. God in his creation first, if you want to see God. The prophet then says, God is in his word. God is in his son. And God is in his people. That's a very, very important thing. You know, so if I, as a minister, if I find myself preaching or believing something which is totally different than all of my friends that are ministers, I've got a lot of minister friends. I've got over 50 that I'm in contact with. I looked at it the other day on a regular basis around the world. If I'm believing something fundamentally different than them, I should question myself. Because how come the light that's flashing in the Urim and Thummim of the people of God is not the same light that's flashing inside of me? How come I see it so different than everybody else? No, God is in his body. God is in his people. And the same with hair and high heels and all that. If you look at your dress as a young sister and you see the godly sisters in church and your way you want to dress is very different than them, I would start questioning the way that I'm dressing. I'd start questioning what's guiding me now in the decisions that I'm making. Because promises the church doesn't have any such custom as that. So even if it's not clear cut in the word, how is the Holy Ghost leading the godly sisters in the church? It's a very, very good thing to think about. What does John say as well? The anointing which you have received of him abides in you. So if you're genuinely a born-again Christian, you've received the Holy Ghost, that anointing of the Holy Ghost, it abides in you. And he says, and you need not that any man should teach you, but the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie. So now God is in his people. But I don't think we have different Holy Ghosts in the church. The Holy Ghost can't lead one person to feel comfortable putting on big butterflies on their eyes like eyelashes, and another person is very uncomfortable even thinking about it. All the godly sisters would never do something like that. But you do something like that and you think that you're following the leadership of the Holy Ghost. No. Abraham's given us a very good pointer here as well. We need to be careful. Now we need to, Paul, even himself, when he went and sought the Lord and the Lord revealed things to him, he came back to Jerusalem to speak to those that were in the Lord before him, because he didn't want to run in vain. He went to Peter and James and John to make sure that what he believed the Holy Ghost was revealing to him was the same light that was flashing in the Urim and Thummim of the body. And I would say that's a very, very good point. You know, I don't think I'd be very comfortable feeling I'm right and the rest of the bride is wrong. Yay! It's a dangerous way of looking at things. Now, another good way to do it as well, sisters, on all these things, he says in Titus, Paul, I put another translation, older women likewise are to teach what is good, and so train the young woman. We see some young sisters still coming as serious high heels in church. Their mothers should be teaching them. You know, their mothers should. And if their mothers aren't teaching them, then older women now should now be going and putting a good influence on those mothers, saying, sister, in a nice way, nice location, nice atmosphere, sister, why are you still allowing your children to come like that? Yes, that's not really scriptural to do it that kind of way. You know, the older woman, friends, don't leave this to the pastor. Don't leave this to the deacons. The Bible says we should be helping each other. And you that are more mature as youth should be helping those that are less mature. If you see some of the young ones still coming with earrings in, why not send them a copy of the Bible study when we spoke about those things and say, sister, I'm not too sure if you managed to watch this, but it'll help you to understand fashion and so forth. You know, let's help one another in this, in Christian love, and the body will edify the body. Don't leave it up to Bible studies, to preaching. No, that's good. But the Bible tells us we should be influencing, helping one another, and especially mothers should be influencing their children and teaching their children these things. Coming to a close. How does your head feel about it? Whatever you're thinking to do with your hair, whichever way you're thinking to dress, whatever you're thinking to do with the heels on your shoes, how does your head feel about it? That's what I was saying. The wife, what does your husband think about this? Your daughter, what does your father say about this? If he's a godly man, does the Urim and Thummim flash inside of your father? What are the deacons in the church? What does the Sunday school teacher think about this? Now get your advice and the multitude of counselors, their safety. It's a good thing to do. Okay, the final point, we'll try to finish here now, is speaking about broided hair. We've been speaking a bit about it, but you need to look at the scripture because Paul speaks in the scripture concerning broided hair. We'll finish with this. Paul says, in like manner also, women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair. So now people take it and say, okay, so we shouldn't braid our hair. You see how we're taking it? Or gold or pearls, a costly array. Let's look at the first, at the Bible Knowledge Commentary. I like this. The specifics Paul mentions, braided hair, gold, pearls, expensive clothes, are not wrong in themselves. There's nothing wrong with someone wearing some gold or somebody wearing expensive clothes to a wedding. So they're not sinful, these things in themselves. Braiding of hair is not sinful in itself, but becomes inappropriate when they indicate misplaced values. So it depends on your motive and your objective. Why are you doing this? If you want to braid your hair, why are you doing it? Now I'll explain as we get into it now. He continues. In the Ephesian church, these styles that he's speaking about may have been associated with the local temple prostitutes. So I just took it there and showed what it was like in those days. So that's how they would braid their the prostitutes, they would do their hair up like it, so that men would immediately know that this is an immoral woman. They knew this is a woman of the world. You see, can you see what Paul was hitting at then? He's not saying all braiding of hair is wrong, but he's hitting against the woman of that age. Don't follow the styles of your age. These immoral women are doing the hair like this. Don't follow the styles of the immoral woman. And then he finishes off. I said this the other week. Christians must be careful about letting a pagan culture set their fashion. So that's what Paul's trying to say. influence. Be careful where you're getting your influence from. Now, Brother Branham, he answers this question. Does 1 Timothy 2:9 mean a woman cannot braid her hair? Braid hair means braided hair. How does he answer? Notice, braided hair in that day was the sign of a street woman. I've just proved it to you from that Bible commentary from Ephesus. That's how the prostitutes did their hair. That's what she done. She braided her hair. And Paul said to the Christians, now, in your adorning, nor let it be braided, same thing, because it looked like the rest of the world. Can you see we're going to hit a point here, saints? If you've fallen asleep, wake up. We're going a few minutes over. Need to finish up today. We're almost at the end. This is an important point. You sisters, don't let your hair be like the world. Don't let your fashions be patterning after the world. We're not supposed to conform to the world. Now, you're not supposed to look like the world or to act like the world, see? The women are supposed to be different there. We're in the church. Now, today, braided hair is pretty. And it's a long ways from the fashion of the world in the 1960s when the prophet was there. Woman braiding the head was not the fashion of the world. It was being different than the world. Can you see how he's nailed the point there so, so very well? But if you still have a worldly flame inside of you, that pulls you to worldly fashion, that you wanted fashion after the world, you need to seek for a deeper experience of sanctification, for the Lord to take out that desire from you. But generally speaking, Christian sisters are not trying to follow the world. They just want to look pretty. That's all that they want. Now the prophet, he finishes, just keep your hair in any way. Just don't do it like the world. See, don't look or dress like it. If they wear shorts, you wear a dress. If they cut off you and bob it, you let yours alone. See? So he really hammers the final point home, which I think ties the whole thing together for us today when you're looking at all these kind of things. Stilettos. Why do you want to wear stilettos? It's the world. We don't need to wear stilettos. They're not even practical shoes. We shouldn't wear those kind of things. Why are we doing it? Because it's an influence from somewhere. For someone to braid the hair, there's nothing wrong. Someone to want to make the hair long, wonderful. Use a rat, whatever you want, a hair piece, whatever you want, like Brother said, man or woman, but don't do it like the world. If they're putting rainbow colors, we don't put rainbow colors. If they're tinting it pink and green and yellow, we never do that as believers. If they're putting big eyelashes on, we don't do those kind of things. The church has no such custom. So I think on these things, brethren, nailed the point there in the end. We have a lot of liberty as believers. Scripture gives us boundaries to work within. What's your motive and your objective? And the most important thing, make sure you're not patterning after the world. And I think God will lead you accordingly. If you need help, you've got a godly mother, you've got a godly father, you've got godly Sunday school teachers, you've got godly deacons in church, you've got elder sisters in church, you've got other believers in church that are older than you in the Lord, you've got ministers, you've got a pastor. There's many, many places that you can go if you've got any questions and doubts, and you'll find that God will lead you. But the most important thing, make sure that you submit yourself to the Spirit of truth, and God will lead you into all truth. Let's pray as we finish, saints. Thank you, Lord, Father, for your word. Thank you for the message, Lord, that so much comes and just, Father, place it in our age so we understand what it is that pleases you in this age. I just pray for every single person listening today. I pray for every single person that listened down the way, that, Father, you'll guide and lead each and every one of us into all truth. Lord, we've tried to answer as many questions as we could this evening. We know there's more. But Father, I just pray that these principles will be helpful to govern us and to guide us, Lord, to walk pleasing unto you. Bless your people with rich blessings, we pray. Bless the remainder of our fellowship this evening, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. Any questions, any comments? Any questions, any comments, saints? Anybody would like to add or ask anything there? Or was it just one of those ouch ones again? I was actually going to get my amen machine here today, but I got some amens from Rachel sitting next to me, which was nice. So anybody else would like to just contribute before we finish off?
Thank you, Pastor. That was very good. I don't have hair and I don't have high heels.
Now you can go get a hairpiece, Brad George.
I know, I'm good like this.
I see good stuff.
I'll wear a cap. That was powerful. Thank you so much. That was a blessing.
No problem, Brad. I think since it's tied, maybe a lot of things brought it to a lot of things together. I know there's still maybe some loose ends. I do have a couple of questions still to go, but we will try to get onto them in a few weeks' time. But I think the basic principles, the most important thing, just yield yourself to the Spirit of truth. If you feel convicted about something, don't do it. Double check things, and you've got a lot of good resources around you as believers where you can go and bounce things off. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety, the Bible says. You know, so I think the Lord will help us on that. If you think that my 1 inch on heels was a little bit too low, that's okay. You have liberty. Do 1 1/4, no problem. As long as it's comfortable, as long as it you don't mince, as long as it doesn't change your posture, as long as it's a practical shoe for you, if you want 1 1/2, whatever. But I think we've just tried to give you some guidelines and parameters there this evening. Anybody else, or do we get an early night this evening? Okay. But George, you pray for us then. Saints, God bless you, saints. If there are any other questions, please continue sending them in. We'll try to cover them in a few weeks' time. But may the Lord richly bless you this evening.
Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for this word that keeps coming at us, O God. Father, precious Savior, there's still the loose ends amidst our lives that are not, Lord Father, tied together. We're looking unto thee as our pastor ties those loose ends for us, O God. Bless us, help us, Father, for Lord, yes, the woman is the church, O God. Father, amen. Lord, we have to have, Lord, our lamps trimmed and ready, O God. Lord, Father, precious Savior, that holy vessel, that second-hand robe, the Holy Ghost. Amen. Precious Savior, Lord, if we could just have that, Lord, then we would know the do's and don'ts, the T's and C's. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for faithfulness, Lord. We thank you for a pastor that, Lord, will go out of his way, Father, Lord, to bring these things and to bring them, O God, until, Father, the bride is dressed in, Lord, Father, righteous robes, O God, ready, Lord, Father, to meet, Lord, Father, our Lord, husband, Jesus Christ, O God. We pray your grace. Bless us now as we part with us. Give virtue back to our pastor. Give him strength. Bless all the brethren that have tuned in, even those that, Lord, Father, may listen in. Lord, Father, in due course, let this word, Father, as long as this world would go on, continue to bless, continue to bring them out of, Lord, Savior, Father, darkness into light. We thank you, we love you, as we lay all unto thee, be with us, keep us, give us your grace. And as we pray, Father, for our people, Lord, we think of Israel, bless them at this time. Amen. Give them grace, yes. Give them peace, we ask, even at this hour. In thine holy name, be with us, keep us, we ask. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother George. Yes, let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Let's keep the natural bride there in prayer. And God bless, saints. Have a wonderful evening until we meet. God bless.
God bless.
God bless. God bless. God bless. God bless. God bless, my faithful. God bless you, bro.